Welcome to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti of Calvary Chapel, Montrose.
People kind of start saying, well, you know, Joan of Arc is making it to heaven because she was this and that. Luther made it to heaven because he was this and that. And then fill in the blank, whoever, Mother Teresa made it into heaven because, no. If they didn't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, they will not make it into heaven. There is only one way, right? One way. There's only one name under heaven by which man might be saved, and that name is the Lord Christ Jesus. Under no other name can you make it into heaven.
Rain down on me. I need you today. I can't live without you. Fill me again, I pray.
What kind of Christian are you? Do you walk the talk, or are you claiming faith when you have unresolved hurt in your heart? Is God living within you, or have you built a wall because of pain or unconfessed sin? If that's you, or if you know someone who is dealing with this, today's teaching from Pastor Ben is for you. He says your works will not get you into heaven. We tend to get focused on what we do and neglect the who and the why. Ask God for forgiveness and open your heart to Him for access to His kingdom. Now here's Pastor Ben in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, as he continues his message, The Scroll is Opened.
They're having the hardest time with America because we're all nationalists, right? We're for flag and country. We try to be until they tell us, well, waving your flag is not a good thing because when you wave your American flag, you offend the Lebanese, you offend the Saudis, you offend the, and they give me 20 other subjects of people I'm offending. Well, I'm sorry, I'm in America. You know, when I came here, when my parents and whenever any immigrant came to America, they learned to speak gosh darn English. That's all there was to it, right? And so we need to be thinking, oh, wow, Lord, what your word says, we can see that there's this plan afoot. And so as Christians, as we see this, again, not everybody sees ahead. Not everybody's seeing the signs. But we have to be aware. Jesus says, the signs are times in which my coming is quickly for you guys. And so we can't just have blinders on. We have to be seeing this whole thing and be really about the Father's business and really about getting our loved ones saved as much as we can, bringing them to church, whispering things about God with them, prayerfully that they would come to the Lord before the rapture, but if not, certainly after the rapture. All right. Now, it's interesting again, and don't you just find it ironic that we consistently, year after year, hear of another virus that's going to threaten our lives, right? There's another one coming up, right? So I personally not believe that COVID, as tragic as it has been for so many of us, I don't think COVID is nothing compared to what's coming ahead. COVID was tragic. Man-made stuff was tragic. A lot of our friends died of COVID, right? But what's coming ahead, COVID is just a little thing. Well, finally, church, these two riders on a pale horse have been given the power to kill by the beast of the earth. Now, this is pretty scary. By the beast of the earth. Think about this for just a second. We have learned that there will be a shortage of food worldwide. But just imagine it in your own backyard here in Montrose, Colorado, right? Food shortages for humans means food shortages for the wild animals as well. If one can't feed one's kid, what are you going to do about Fido? You know, are you going to have some money and spend it on Fido when you can't even feed Junior at home? You're going to have to make a decision. It's going to be a hard one, right? But I think Fido's going to run away with a pack to try and find some food if you're not feeding it. And probably the most merciful thing you can do is say, Fido, go survive. I'm barely trying to survive right now. On Friday, I was outside in my front yard doing a little weeding, and lo and behold, I looked up, and a little fox was going across my neighbor's yard, across the street, right? And the fox was being a fox, you know, looking around, whatever. It's a baby still, but it's looking for food. when I think about this as I was doing my study, oh my gosh, this is in my backyard. Could you imagine, you know, what it's going to be when there is no food? The scarcity of food is huge. Animals are going to have to eat somewhere. And when you read this, this one quarter of the world population, 2 billion people, you think the animals are not going to have their share? The Bible's telling you that the wild beasts are going to come up. And then we real smart Coloradans from the other side, Front Range, yeah, we should bring wolves and put them out on the western slope. That's what Denver says and Boulder says. And we should bring the wild ones, the ones that really kill people and cattle and everything else. We should bring them and put them over there with the western slope. We're in trouble. But then again, we're not going to be here. You and I are going to be gone. But everything left is left to fend for themselves. So it's a hard thing for them. In my backyard here in Montrose, I drive 5 minutes or 10 minutes down the street, and there's mountain lions, right? We all know that. There are now wolves coming. There's certainly bears out here, coyotes. They're going to be looking for food. It's a whole different thing then when mom says, hey, kids, go out and play, have a good time, but be careful. While in those days, go out and play, but watch out for the beasts that are coming after you, that are prowling, because they're going to eat you up, son or daughter and whatnot. You know, it's coming. It's going to come to that kind of times. With all this happening, you and I would be thinking that people would be turning to the Lord by the thousands. You would just think they would, but they won't. In fact, the opposite will take place. They will turn to those whom, since the rapture, have now become followers of Christ. So the people are going to turn against them. Thus, the fourth seal reveals death to over a fourth of the earth. But look at what verse 9 says, right? When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Slain. These people are going to be slain for the word of God. Church, these who have been slain for the word of God are called martyrs. Have you ever seen that word martyrs? And man, I don't understand what that word is, a big $10 word. Martyrs, they die because they keep the word of God and their testimony. Their testimony, hey, listen, I was one of those guys. I remember being at, let's just say, your house, and you shared Jesus, and they didn't accept it, and they were mad. But now that you're gone and they can't find you, and it's not just you, but millions are missing across the world, it must be true. So they start coming, they start looking, and they accept the Lord. So now they have a testimony, and they share with others. I was one, but now I believe in the Lord. And they're going to kill this guy. Right? He becomes a martyr because he keeps that testimony and he won't change it. Well, are you going to take the mark? I'm not going to take the mark. My friends always told me that this was a bad thing, that if I take the mark, I will never have a chance. So I'm not thinking, well, we're going to kill you, dude. Well, do what you have to do. Well, here you go. Or slice their heads off or whatever. So when they are killed for the word of God and their testimony, they are called martyrs. Martyrs from the tribulation period. It's interesting because you would think that our Heavenly Father would let them all just perish, but he doesn't. He still is calling out to people even after we are gone. What a love of a father. That's a real dad. If I messed up things at home, my dad didn't love me too much. He'd give me the love of a belt or a knuckle sandwich or something, but our Heavenly Father still has patience with the guys. So the fifth seal open represents the cry of the martyrs. So the fourth seal was, it revealed death to over a fourth of the earth, and the fifth seal reveals the cry of the martyrs. And church, by now you might maybe wondering, well, what is the devil doing during all this time that God is allowing his wrath to come down on the earth? What has Satan been up to, right? We start thinking about that. Listen, while God is bringing his just punishment upon the wicked, the Antichrist has been persecuting and prosecuting, if you may, those who have come to Christ during that time. So immediately after the rapture, when you and I have been discovered to have vanished by our unbelieving family, friends, and acquaintances, many of them, again, as I was sharing with you, will remember, right, our wives, our husbands maybe, many of them will remember our witness to them, how we shared. How is church today, honey? Well, church was pretty good. I really wish you would come with me. You know, I mean, just bring your Bible, you know, look at your Bible and say, I don't know. You know, I grew up and fill in the blank, you know, and we don't go to church or I don't think so, right? But many at that time will turn from their old ways and they will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We applaud them from heaven if we're seeing it, but the Bible says it's going to happen. However, now these new Christians, if you may, will find themselves in the worst, the absolute worst physical situation. You see, they will be subject to violence. They're going to be subject to starvation, right? They're going to be subject to disaster, the plagues that are coming. They're going to be subject to disease and whatever else has been going on, such as being bitten or eaten by a wild animal, right? But more than that, more than what I just mentioned, which is horrific, they are going to be hunted and executed for their new faith. That's bad, right? So church, these are the ones we are hearing as the fifth seal has been opened. Now, though many of them will be killed and become what we call tribulation saints, yet many of them will become part of God's remnant on earth who will be the ones to proclaim the truth as God's wrath continues to be poured out on the earth. They're the ones that are going to carry the baton. Aside from the 144,000 that the Lord has set aside, Jewish people. But church, these martyrs that we're talking about of the future could be those outside these doors right now, maybe the apartments, maybe shopping right now, maybe at Murdoch's, they could be those outside, right? They may be the ones who are probably sitting next to you right now that have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, right? Many come to church, many speak Christianese, but there are many which have not accepted the Lord as of yet. So, Now, where does John see these souls? Look at verse 9, under the altar, verse 9. Church, as the blood of the sacrificial animals killed in the Old Testament was poured in the bottom of the altar, so the souls of those sacrificed for Christ's testimony are symbolically represented as underneath it. I have four observations for you regarding martyrs. Okay, four observations. Number one, persecutors can only kill the body. And after that, there is no more that they can do because their soul lives. The soul of man will never die. It will never, ever die, right? Second observation about martyrs, regarding martyrs, God has provided a good place for those who are faithful to death. So may they find encouragement in this, that God still will give them a place, because during that time, they're going to say, I'm telling you, part of the mockery to them, it says, you say you're a Christian, but the Christians are gone. You say you're a Christian, but how come you didn't leave with them? You say you're a Christian now, but you missed the train, dude. You know, so God's not going to have mercy on you now. Deny him. But God says that we'll have a place for them. Thirdly, third observation, martyrs are very near to Christ in heaven. They have the highest place there. God does esteem them very highly. Four, it is not their own death, but the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus that gives them a reception into heaven. Don't ever forget that. People kind of start saying, well, you know, Joan of Arc is making it to heaven because she was this and that. Luther made it to heaven because he was this and that. And then fill in the blank, whoever, Mother Teresa made it into heaven because, no. If they didn't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, they will not make it into heaven. There is only one way, right? One way. There's only one name under heaven by which man might be saved, and that name is the Lord Christ Jesus. Under no other name can you make it into heaven. You could be the best Boy Scout in the world. You're not making it to heaven if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't come to that. You need to know that, and it's a truth for them, right? So the reception into heaven is because of Jesus. So indeed, church, they have become the teachers and the preachers after the rapture, and we're glad for that, should that be the case. Verse 10, look at your Bible. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, these are the martyrs, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, And John puts it down here. So John was asked to come and see. He is hearing this thing. And when he says a loud voice, he means exactly that. It's a loud voice. They're saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Church, the martyrs are calling for vengeance upon those who killed them. And John lets us know that their cry, again, is pretty loud. So I got three observations from verse 10, right? Number one, the martyrs address God, if you notice, as Lord, right? This implies ownership. They belong to God. They do. Second observation, even the spirits of just men, right, made holy, retain a proper resentment of the wrong they have sustained by their cruel enemies. So they are desirous that God would take a just revenge. Now think about this. The difference between them and us, okay? The difference between them and us is we go to heaven for 7 years. We go to heaven for 7 years. These guys are dying today or in the tribulation period, and their souls are there in heaven. You and I have been with the Lord 7 years. It never says that you and I keep the grudge against those that have done us wrong. These guys do, and a rightful one, but when you think about it, you and I have been talking about forgiveness. You and I have been learning about forgiveness. You and I have been taught to turn the other cheek. You and I have learned with the strength of the Lord to forgive those who have wronged us as children, who have wronged us as junior hires, who have wronged us as high schoolers, who have wronged us as young adults and later older adults, and even grandparents that have been ripped off by their children. We have learned to forgive them. And it's been a process for us, but we get it. We know that Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And we learned that Jesus said that it's here on earth, it's nothing going with you on the other side. Let it go. Let it go. Forgive them as I have forgiven you, right? We have learned this. It's been a process for us. These guys, it's an immediate thing. They're not where you and I are. There are martyrs after the rapture. There are martyrs during the tribulation period. You and I live, and we have the greatest privilege right now to know and to become a student of Jesus Christ. And that makes a difference night and day of what's happening with others. They're going to be in heaven. God has a special place for them. We just read them. But they're not like you and I. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. Right? Number three, they commit their cause to him whom vengeance belongs. And we've learned that all this time. Don't take it out on them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We get that. First part of verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a while longer. Church, the white robe suggests purity. It suggests light. The white robe suggests joy in their lives and victory. Rest a little longer. I like this because it means that they are certainly resting now after all they've been through, right? But it also that rest is really, when you think about it, it's short compared to eternity. They're resting for a little while. Eternity is forever. Second part of verse 11, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed as they were was completed. Wow. This is interesting because today, if one of us dies, immediately our soul is with the Lord, right? But yet we are not there with the Lord in our new body. Not yet. And it's not that we are waiting for more of us to die. We are enjoying being present with the Lord outside of time, right? Yet more of us die daily, and more will die until the rapture. Then, the rapture, after the rapture, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's when we receive our new bodies, if you may, that will last forever, for eternity, and we will always be with the Lord at that time. Here, church, the contents of the martyr's prayer was a plea for justice against those who had murdered them for their faith. And God's answer is as wonderful as it is typical, right, of his character. God did not say, hey, guys, I'm delaying the final judgment because I want to make the wicked suffer a little bit longer. He didn't say that. Instead, he said, I'm delaying the end because I'm still waiting for more sinners to turn from their ways and come to me, even as a martyr. Why? Because the new converts, yes, they would die a violent death, but because they would become martyrs, God sees the big picture. Their following life would be beautiful, and their following life would be for eternity's sake. Now, church, don't be tempted here, okay? Don't be charmed with the death of those who come to Christ during the tribulation period. Don't let Satan tempt you into living life today as you wish and come to the Lord during the tribulation period. Now, without trying to be disrespectful to the martyrs, I want you to consider this. Number one, the tribulation saints are stashed away under the altar. It's like you have to put them someplace, right? Two, they are not part of the church. As we say, that train has left the station. Jesus came and took his bride away while these men and women were still in their sins. Number three, think church, there is no place in Scripture other than what we read here that they are under the altar, but there is no place that Jesus has gone to prepare for them like he told the disciples about in the upper room. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may there be also until eternity. He's done this for us who accept him here on this side of the rapture. He's done that for us, but not for the martyrs, right? Four, they are not invited to the Bema Seat judgment, or as we would say, the reward ceremonies. They are not invited to that. We are, right? And fifth, they are not one of the principals in the upcoming wedding. We are going to go to a big wedding in the sky, a big supper. Everything is going to be grand for us. They are not a principal in that event. Church, the reality is that while they are still loved by God and obviously accepted as part of his family, they have escaped, as Job would say, by the skin of their teeth. Job 19:20, right? As we close here for today, when it comes to our salvation, there are two deadlines approaching. One is death. That deadline is final. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, by the time you die, it will be too late for you. The deadline has passed. It will be too late. There are no second chances after you die. And the second deadline is the rapture. If you have not given your life to Christ, by the time Jesus comes to remove his church from the earth, you will be left behind, right? If you have not given your life to the Lord, think about it. Why not now? Tomorrow is not yours. Today is a day of salvation. As I look across here, we have maybe 100 people here, 100 adults, maybe, right? And we're asking you to remember, to think of the day that you said yes to Jesus Christ. You should all have something, maybe not the hour, maybe not the day, but you know that you did ask Jesus to come into your heart. If you cannot remember that, if you perhaps were raised in a Christian home and you thought that maybe by osmosis you have become a Christian, you're wrong. Everyone has to confess the Lord, everyone, and ask him to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you have not done so, why not now?
You've been listening to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti. Pastor Ben has been opening up the book of Revelation to us in this series. In Revelation 2, we see Jesus addressing seven churches. He praises and corrects most of them in turn. When you read through these letters to the churches, which one strikes you the most? I think I need the words to the church in Ephesus most often, where Jesus says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." As I have journeyed through life with Christ and learned so much about all areas of the scriptures, it's been easy to replace the fervent love from the beginning with the head knowledge. I begin to run on what I know instead of running on the everlasting, all-encompassing grace of God, and I forget that love is what it is all about. Maybe your struggle is not the same as mine, but I know that God is also speaking to you today through these letters. Open up your heart and let Him speak to you. Come Drink the Water is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Montrose in Montrose, Colorado. Are you in the area? We would love to see you at one of our services. You can find us online at calvarymontrose.com. There you'll find everything you need to know to join us this Sunday. Once again, that's calvarymontrose.com. And while you're there, check out and download our mobile app. Thank you for being here today. We've loved having this time together with you and the Word of God. We hope to see you again next time right here on Come Drink the Water. Many captives free, Holy Spirit.